If y'all are in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'm going to read this first verse as a jumping off place, and then we'll comb through the chapter a little bit as the Lord leads. So it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray again. Father, Lord, we just want to tell you we love you. Lord, we can't do anything that's worth anything without you. Lord, I pray that we'll be seed sown on good ground this morning. Lord, I pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, give me unction and power to be able to preach, Lord, in a way, Lord, to be pleasing to you. I pray you would get glory. Lord, your word would be magnified. Lord, and I pray your people would be helped. And we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory for it, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now, first of all, I want you to see in verse 1 that the letter here is addressed to the church. There's a local church there and in this town of Thessalonica. And he's addressing it to the church. But there's some things he's dealing with in 2 Thessalonians that I think will be a great help to us as believers. Number one, you're going to find out that they had been persecuted in chapter 1. They had been having wrong teaching on prophecy in chapter number 2. And then in chapter number 3, they're having wrong practical teaching. So they're having persecution, chapter 1. They're having wrong teaching on prophecy, chapter 2. And chapter 3, they've been teaching, people have been teaching them wrong practical doctrine. And so this is an excellent, excellent letter. They'd be a great help to us. So I want you to notice also, from reading this letter, you're going to find out trouble comes from three areas. Number one, trouble comes from, chapter 1, doing right. What? Doing right. Look, one of the biggest things, and I know many of you may know this, but we tend to forget it. Christians tend to forget that whenever you get saved, your problems just start. Look, thank the Lord you don't have to worry about going to hell anymore. And that's the doctrine. This is not my opinion. The Bible teaches once you're in Christ, you're in Christ. Now, don't take an Old Testament passage or a tribulation passage. That's not Pauline epistle, church age epistle. You're in Christ. You're eternally secure. That's Bible doctrine. I can take and show you that till I'm blue in the face. Why? Because the Bible teaches the circumcision of the flesh. That means my flesh is cut away from my soul. The sins of my flesh can no longer touch my soul. That's a Bible doctrine. Second, or Colossians chapter 2, 11 and 12. The operation of God is what it's called. Now, what you have is that people get saved and then they forget that now you're the devil's enemy. And he wants to, if he can't get your soul, he wants your testimony, and he's going to bother you and bother you. So whenever you get close to the Lord, the devil hates you more and more and more. Look, a lot of these people, they're not a threat to the devil. What's he need to bother them for? You're a threat to the devil when you're starting to get the gospel out there. Why? Because his children. Now look, would you be happy with somebody if they come to your house and got two or three of your kids? Now, don't you know that the devil's not happy when you're trying to get the gospel out and here you are stealing his children? Now, you think he's going to be happy with you? Absolutely not. So trouble comes from doing right. Also, the trouble comes from chapter 2, wrong teaching. Chapter 2 teaches you that teaching wrong. That's why we have to teach Bible doctrine, because if you don't teach proper doctrine, it affects the way people behave themselves. Right. Y'all, if I thought chapter 2 is telling them they're not going through the tribulation, if I thought I was going through the tribulation, let me tell you what I'd do. I'm just telling you what I would probably do. I'd get me, just like some of these other folks do, I'd get me a big old bunker. And I'd get me some ammunition and all this. There are people literally building these things in the wall and getting all kind of guns and all kind of ammunition. Let me tell you something, man. That stuff will affect the way you think. I don't have to worry about going through the Great Tribulation. Well, I'll have trials and tribulations in my Christian walk. But as far as me going through the Great Tribulation, you don't have to worry about it. Why? Because I'm the bride of Christ. Amen. And he's not going to whip his bride before the wedding.
That's right.
Now, that's just what the Bible teaches. So, they were having wrong teaching, and then guess what else? Trouble comes from, also, chapter 3, doing wrong. You're going to have trouble if you do right, and you're going to have trouble if you do wrong. So, guess what? I would rather have trouble for doing right and be on the Lord's side than have trouble for doing wrong and then have trouble from the devil and from God. I'd rather be right with God and have trouble from the devil so I have a shelter to go to than having trouble from God because he's having to chastise me and then the devil come out here and just whipping me up on every side.
Amen.
Now that's what's wrong with a lot of folks. Look, let me tell you, once you trust Jesus Christ, you're fixed.
Right.
You're not going to enjoy living in sin anymore. You can get out there and sin all you want to, but I'm going to tell you something, you're not going to enjoy it anymore.
That's
why? Because you're going to grieve the Holy Spirit on it. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed under the day of redemption. You know what that means? You're sealed with the Holy Spirit, so don't grieve Him because you're going to have to live with Him from now on. You better get along with Him. How do you get along with Him? By serving Jesus Christ and being in fellowship with Him.
Amen.
Now, here comes the letter. He's saying these are the things here that trouble you. And he's going to write this letter here dealing with these issues. Now, just on a sidebar, Paul's writing to a local church. That's why it's good to be in a fellowship with believers. Why? Because you're not going to tell yourself these things that's wrong with you. But you know what? Somebody else who loves the Lord, oftentimes will expose and tell you things that you wouldn't tell your own self.
That's right.
Y'all, we got to realize that. That's why you can't be a hermit and just be out here by yourself and go out in the mountain somewhere and just wait on the Lord to come back. We got to be in fellowship with one another. And you be around other folks. I'll tell you what, there's some other folks that say, I believe the Bible says this. I don't believe that's right. And I have to think and say, they're right. We got to be careful about that. Why? Well, there's a reason why we got this fellowship. Now, number one, I want you to see in verses 1 and 2, peace. The ultimate source of peace, he said in verse number 1, it says the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, I want you to see it's from the Father. He says grace and peace, verse 2. But guess what? The Bible says that the Father is called, in 2 Corinthians 1:3, He's called the God of all comfort, the Father of mercies and the God of comfort. If you want to know what God is, to the Christian, He's a God of comfort. Man, I thank God I know Him as the God of comfort. Now, the ultimate source of peace and comfort is the Father, but guess what? You're not going to get to the Father unless you come to Him through the Son. A lot of these folks here don't make much of Jesus Christ. You can make much of the Father by making much of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
In the duration of that peace, let me give you a verse. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 16, it says, "Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always, by all means. The Lord be with you all." Man, that's a blessing.
Yeah.
Peace, how much peace have you got, Brother Chase? I got peace always.
Always.
I've got access to peace when everything else is going wrong, when things are going bad. I've got access to peace always by all means. The Father's the ultimate source of that. But guess what? The way to that source is the Son. Listen to this verse, John 5:23, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. Look, you're not honoring the Father unless you honor the Son. That's what that verse is teaching. That's why if you're ever witnessing to a Jehovah's Witness, write down John 5:23 and show them this right here, because they don't make much of the Son. You say, you're not honoring the Father unless you're honoring the Son. Now, you know what we want to do in our gathering is make much of Jesus Christ. Our gathering's not worth anything if we're just sitting here talking about ourselves and talking about something else and everything else that's going. Y'all, the Lord Jesus Christ, what it's all about. And that's how the Father gets glory, because He loves to hear someone bragging on His Son. Man, that's a blessing to have that.
Amen.
Now, guess what? He's the source to anything and everything that's worth anything.
That's right.
Really, anything that's worth anything has to do with Jesus Christ. If it don't have to do with Jesus Christ, it's not worth much. That's how you know. If you're doing something, you say, I wonder if this is worth doing. Well, can God get glory from it? Well, really not worth much. I wonder if I need to worry about this or if this is a big deal in my life. Look, if it don't have nothing to do with Jesus Christ, really not that big of a deal. Why? Because it's going to pass away one of these days. We got to keep that thing in mind. Now, I want you to see peace, verse 1 and 2. Praise, verse number 3. I want you to see in verse number 3, he's praising them there. He says, we are bound to thank God. You're talking about thankfulness. Watch what. If you want to see what true thanksgiving's for and true thanksgiving about, go through your Bible and see what people thank God for. Look what he says here. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. He's thanking God that the believers here, their faith was growing, and not just a little bit, exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. It's abounding. It's growing. So, you know what you'll see? Praise in verse number 3. I want you to see true growth. It's not numbers, but faith. This is something that bothers. This bothers me tremendously. That we're living in a time now. I'm getting ahead of myself. But I'll talk to people and they'll say, "Oh, where you at now? Oh, I'm out at Blessed Springs." The first question. Well, how many folks you got going there? Yo, that concerns me. That's a concern of mine. I'm not going to slap them in the face because they ask. But you know what gets me? It's not, well, what are y'all studying now? It's not, well, hey, man, do those believers get along there at that church good? Does everybody get along with? No, just nickels and noses. What I'm telling you is this thing right here in verse 3 tells you what true growth is.
Yes, it does.
You say, "Brother Chase, well, how do you know if you're growing? It's overflowing in here, and people are looking in the window." I've heard, and that's fine. I wouldn't mind it a bit if, as long as we were doing it by the Bible. I wouldn't mind it if it was 400 people in here and you had to build a new sanctuary. I wouldn't mind it as long as it was right.
Amen.
But you never compromise the truth in order to get growth. Why? Because the Bible teaches you what true growth is. I want y'all to know that, because look, this world is getting to where they think if the grander something is, and the better something is, and the bigger something is, the better it must be. That's not the Bible.
That's right, brother.
Jeremiah was of God, and Jeremiah didn't have any followers.
That's right.
The Lord Jesus Christ, He's of God, isn't He? God Himself.
Amen.
How many followers do you have?
Right.
How many do you have in the end?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? You biblically wise, this world measures true growth by a totally different standard. Totally different. I want to give you a couple verses. The Bible tells you over there in Luke 17:5, "And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith." And then he goes to talk about a mustard seed. Something small that grows. A mustard seed. Faith starts small and it grows.
Yes.
People don't realize that. People, they want everything. That's just like faith. Y'all, we don't need to be believers who think that you just, boom, you got the greatest success already. Y'all, we got to grow. It's the things start small and they grow like a mustard seed does. Think of this right here. The Bible tells you, and I forgot, I didn't even write the verse down, but Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Now, listen at the verse. Faith cometh by hearing. How's faith come? By hearing. And hearing,
amen,
by the Word of God. Now, how do you grow in faith? Faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You ever seen somebody couldn't hear very well? What do? They get a hearing aid, right? And they couldn't hear very well, so now they hear through that hearing aid, and that hearing aid magnifies their hearing. Now, you know what? Faith comes by hearing. How's your faith grow? In hearing by the Word of God. What happens? You get more faith by measuring what you hear and magnifying what you hear by the Word of God. You know what that does? You'll say, "Okay, I heard something just come in my mind, and I measure that by the Word of God and say, wonder how this stands up to the Word of God." And I say, "You know what? The Bible sure was right on that. It said this in the last days. It sure is going to say." And y'all, you get to measuring the things that are happening and the things that come into your mind by the Word of God and say, "Okay, well, the Word of God says this." And you know what it does? The Word of God was right on that. And it was right on that. And it was right on that. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing, that hearing, by the Word of God, you measure what you hear by the Word of God, and it gives you more faith because it substantiates that truth, and you realize how true the Bible is. You say, "The Bible said that, and I measure what I heard by the Bible," and I say, "All I got to do is slice it off and say, well, that don't measure up with the Word of God. I can kick that out to the side." The scientist comes up and says, "Well, you know, that Bible is not so. Yeah, because, you know, long back ago, they said that the earth was this, that, and other." And you get over there, and the Bible says, "He sitteth upon the circle of the earth." I know the Bible's a circle. Oh, not the Bible, the earth. Y'all know. But what I'm telling you is this. I start measuring things by the Bible. And what happens is it starts to build your faith because you see more and more how the Bible, you're able to measure everything. He read in the devotion today, Psalm 119, David said, I got more understanding than my teachers. I got more understanding than the ancients. Why? I measure things by the precepts of God.
That's it.
You know how you get more understanding is measuring this thing and measuring this world by the Word of God. Yeah. You know what? Jesus Christ was a carpenter.
Right.
He's able to measure this world and He's able to measure you. And you got the Word of God on the inside of you, and I've got it in my lap right there, and I'm able to measure things. Why?
Right.
We're like Christ. He's a carpenter. We ought to be like a carpenter and measure things out. You build things. Why? Built upon the Word of God.
That's right.
True growth is not numbers. True growth is not what this world thinks that growth is. I just want you to know here, thank God for who's here this morning, but guess what? There's a whole world out there that the Bible never says, get people to come to church. You'd find me that verse. The Bible says, go out in the hedges and the byways and go. We come in here, we learn. If somebody comes in here lost, great, we'll give them the gospel. I hope they get saved. I want people to get saved, yes. But the church goes out. Your mission field is out there. I went to a church one time, and on the back of the door, it says, you are entering the mission field as you walked out that door right there. Y'all, a lot of these people, they'll say, man, I went to Belize, and I went over here to Africa, and I went over here, and all that's great and fine. But you're not impressing me going over there to people you don't know if you won't even go to people right around here. You're not impressing me praying for people over there when you won't pray for lost loved ones and folks right around here that you know is lost the ball. And how we people say, well, what about the heathen over in Africa? What about the heathen right down the road? What about the y'all? We've got people right around here that we can minister to. Yes, we send missionaries over. Why? Because I can't go. My mission fields are right around here. And y'all, we've got to realize that. Why? Because this world has got growth measured in the wrong place. And let me tell you what that does. If you're not careful about that, it'll get you discouraged. I can't tell you how many pastors have stopped weighing things by the Bible, and they've listened to what so-and-so said, and they said, well, we're just not growing. I know a guy right now, he's my age, he's so discouraged, he can't stand it. Why? He's got about 30 people going there, and he thinks he's not doing any good. I talked to a lady at the bank the other day, and she said, well, I guess he's leaving. Why? Because he thinks he's not doing any good. He's preaching the Word. Y'all, as long as you're preaching the Word and letting the Word do the work, let the results up to God. The Bible said, and the Lord added to the church. God adds. I can't add. You can't add anything. Who do we think we are today?
That's right.
What I'm telling you is people are measuring things by the wrong way. We got to measure it by God's Word so we don't get upset and so we don't get discouraged. I'm telling you, if we'd measure it by the Word of God, you know what true growth is? He said, I'm glad that your faith is growing. Now look, have you got more faith today than you had 3 or 4 weeks ago? Well, if you do, it's a blessing, but it's not because of me. It's because of the Word of God. And if we're giving the Word of God out, you'll grow on the inside. That's true growth. And later on, if more numbers are added, that's great. But if not, as long as you're growing, that's what matters. I know some of the great, man, I've got people, I've got their sermons at the house. You're not going to find a better preacher. Guess what? Preaching about 12 people. Well, his people are growing. He's still serving God. You got to realize that, y'all. Why? Because if you don't, look what he's praising them that they're growing here. They're growing spiritually. Spiritual growth is the right way to grow. True growth, true giving. He was praising that their faith was growing. He said, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abound. He didn't say charity toward all this other stuff. That's good, but guess what? If we don't have charity toward each other, all that other stuff not going to amount to a hill of beans. He said, I'm glad. He said, true giving is this. The charity toward each other is growing. It's abounding. Y'all, I went to this one house one time. And I sat down, and this lady, her husband's back there, and talking about charity toward each other. You go to a house, and man, it's just discord. It's just terrible. Now, she's nice to me. I come in, how you doing? You want something to drink? Honey, get him something to drink. Whoa, automatically I'm already upset because I'm thought, uh-oh, this is not good. You could tell it was animosity there. The dog come up, oh, come over here, Fluffy. She just so nice, loving on the dog, kissing that old dog and everything else. And the husband just bossing him around and everything. There was no charity toward each other. So guess what? I didn't care how nice she was toward anyone else. Why? Because I seen that the charity toward her people close to her was not abounding. So guess what? It was hard for me to think. I said, well, I get to know her very well. She's probably going to be like that to me. She's cutting him down. You know what happens? If we cut each other down,
amen,
around other folks, they're going to say, well, I'm not going to listen to them. Y'all, we've got to abound toward each other.
Amen.
And the Bible says not biting and devouring each other. Why? Because we're supposed to be building one another up. The charity toward each other aboundeth. Why? Because we've got to be kind to each other in here first. Because if we're not kind to one another, we're not going to be kind to other people outside. And if you're not kind to each other, other people aren't inside, they're not going to care how nice you are. They're going to say, I know how you treat old so-and-so. You got to be real careful about those things. So there's a praise. He was praising them that each other, the charity toward each other, was abounding. Now here's another thing. Peace, praise, patience in verse number 5. You're going to see there that it produced a good witness. Look at verse 4. It says, so that we ourselves glory in you.
Amen.
They're glorying in you. Where? In the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecution. They were getting persecuted and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Guess what? Produced a good witness. Others were, he was glowing because that they had produced a good witness because of their patience and what they're going through. I was in the grocery store here a little while back talking about good witness, and I'm not going to call anybody out, but somebody said, you go to Blessed Springs? Yeah, I know so and so that goes there. She is the nicest lady and she loves the Lord. And I thought to myself, what a blessing. Because I was, you know, I'm always thinking, you know, because don't talk bad about one of my members. Don't talk bad about somebody I know. Hey, I'll tell you something, I'm one of them type of folks like this where I want to be a good friend. Now, I'm not going to body slam or karate chop somebody, but you better not talk bad about one of y'all around me.
Yeah.
I said, let's call them then. Let's just call them.
Yeah.
Would you like to say that? They'd run one of y'all. Okay, let's call them and let's say, would you like to say that over here? We'll check it with what they... Because look, we ought to take up for one another and build one another up.
Amen.
I don't believe in this stuff of running this and down and running that and down over here behind me. Look here, we ought not do that. Y'all know this right here. I know so-and-so wouldn't talk bad about being behind my back, and y'all ought to know I wouldn't do that to y'all.
Yes, sir.
And the thing is, they were bragging. Why? Because just like this, Paul was saying, hey, I know that y'all have got a good witness here, and that patience is producing a good witness. So what's he saying? You know what? Y'all going to go through things. And because you have patience in that thing, somebody else may be able to say, hey, I saw them go through this. And they went through that like a Christian, and you get a good witness. Sometimes, y'all, it's not that you're being bad. If y'all are anything like me, and I know we have to check up. We do. But something happened, I said, what have I done now? You ever do that?
Yeah.
Well, man, I know I done missed it.
Yeah.
Y'all, a lot of times you're going through something so God can work patience in you and somebody else can see you going through that, and then God can get glory for it and you have a good witness.
Amen.
A lot of times it's not that God's about to stomp you like an ant. We look at these things wrong because we've got to have it in our mind. We got to realize that when we're going through something, Lord, how can you get glory out of this?
Amen.
So they had a good witness, but also it made them worthy. Look at verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. Man, that's tough. That's tough. Manifest token may be counted worthy. Let me read a scripture to you. 1 Timothy 5:18, for the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. You know what? We're not worthy for nothing, but you know what? Christ can make you worthy.
That's right.
Christ can. Why? Christ working in and through you. And you know what he does? He does all the work in saving. He does all the work in and through you, and then for him to give you a reward for everything he did. Y'all, that's a blessing, man. You're talking about a great God. Y'all, we cannot measure up to that.
That's right.
But he said, they're counted worthy. Y'all, you want to be worthy, let Christ work in and through you.
Amen.
And he said, the labor is worthy of his reward. God's going to give, the fact that God's going to give you a reward one of these days. Man, isn't that a blessing? One of these days, we're going to be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ and for him to give you a reward. Y'all, that's so humbling.
Amen.
Why is it going to be so humbling? Lord, I didn't do anything. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, a gift to God. Salvation was a gift. And then the Bible said, Christ is working in you. Let Christ work in you. All right, here's Christ working, and I'm getting a reward. Why? Well, I didn't do it. All I did was just yield to Christ, and he did all the work, and here he is going to give you a reward.
How about that?
I mean, that's so humbling. But here he is going to give you a reward. The Lord, you imagine you seeing those wounds in his hand. And here you, when he hands you that, you imagine him handing you something and you looking up there and seeing, I'll tell you, that's going to be tough. You know why? Those elders up there in Revelation, they just threw them back. They said, Lord, thank you. Give them right back. Why? Lord, you can do with them far better than I ever could. Far better than I ever could. David being a type of Christ, you know what Jonathan did? Jonathan had power. Jonathan had a robe. And Jonathan had all these things on. You know what he did? Just gave them to David. You can handle them better than I can, David. That's a picture of what we're going to do.
Amen.
Lord, yes, you gave me all this stuff. It wasn't for you. I want you to have it. I want you. You can handle a whole lot better than I can. Y'all, wouldn't it be nice to be able to have something to hand back to him?
Yes.
Man, I'll tell you, the reward, we're worthy, but not because of anything of ourselves. It's because of Christ doing something there. Why? Because their faith had grown, and guess what? As their faith had grown, they were able to handle more persecutions. They were able to develop more patience. Y'all, I'll tell you something. You don't pray for patience. Why? Because you're going to have enough things in life to make you patient anyway. Things happen all the time, all the time. That's like up the road from my house. I take the road before you get to the end of my road because I know, seem like every time I go there, the train is always coming across. So I have to back up and go all the way around. I'm mad the whole time. I should have known to take that little cut-off road. But you know what happens? Patience. It's the Lord's having to show us. Take your time.
Amen.
Why are you in that great big old hurry? You know, this is what makes me mad. I'll get there. The train is coming through there. I said, that big old long train, I can back up and turn and go around. Guess what happens? I turn around and go around, and then the train's finished. If I'd have stayed there and waited, it'd have measured up by the same time. That's how we are with the Lord a lot of times. We need to be patient. And the thing is, he's working these things. So you got that. Now the next thing I want you to see is prophecy. Prophecy. I want you to see there in verse number 6, it says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Y'all, that verse right there is a blessing to me. It's a righteous thing to God to recompense tribulation to those that trouble you. He said, look here, man. Don't you worry about it. God's going to take care of it.
Yes, he will.
He'll recompense trouble. Y'all, don't ever think you can do God's job for him.
That's right.
You know what the Bible said? The righteousness, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The Bible says, avenge not, rather give place to the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So if we think we're going to take vengeance out on somebody, we're saying, we wouldn't say it out loud, we're saying, God, I can do your job a little bit better than you. But you know what that Bible just told you? Those people who are troubling you now, if they don't get saved, they don't trust Christ, one of these days God's going to trouble them. And oftentimes too, on this earth right here, people trouble you and they're going through things. And you know why? Because they're messing with God's children. God don't take lightly the people messing with his children. Paul, why persecutest thou me? He said. Paul said, what are you talking about? I'm not persecuting you. He was persecuting the body of Christ.
That's right.
And the Lord didn't like it. I'm going to tell you something. If you're serving God and you're doing what God wants you to do and somebody's bothering you, you better believe it's a righteous thing for God to trouble them. So you see, God will recompense on the followers of the devil. Now, number two, God gives rest. Look at verse 7. It says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. Why? Because there's coming a day in the second coming when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angel. That's talking about the second coming. One of these days, just rest there. Why? Because he's going to come back one day. Yeah, we got to rest some. You know, this scares me about the world, and we all get caught up in it. Everything's just so fast, and we don't take time to rest. Even, you know what makes music? The rest. We couldn't sing a song if we had no rest in between. It's just blah, 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 and you couldn't even sing.
That's right.
I heard a story about two men. They were going to be in an axe competition. They were going to take all day long. And the younger man was going to try to go against this older man who was really, really good with his axe. And he said, I can beat you. He said, because I can just go, I can chop wood all day long without stopping. And that older man said, that sounds good. He said, I'll beat you just hands down, no problem. And the boy said, okay, you're on. So he gets his axe, and that old man just starts over there, and that old man starts chopping that wood, and that boy just wide open chopping that wood, man. And the older man, he steps aside there. He chops a little while and steps aside, and he eats him something there, and he sits down a little while, and the boy just not looking. He just over there just chopping, because all he's going by is just brute strength, and he's chopping wood, and he thinks he's really doing something. Well, at the end of the day, the older man had twice as much wood chopped as he did. He said, hold on just a minute. Now, this is not right. He said, I chop wood all day long without stopping. And you stopped every other 5-10 minutes you're stopping. He said, yeah. He said, I ate something to gain strength while I stopped. But he said, you didn't know it. I was over sharpening my axe. And see, amen. If you'll rest and sharpen your axe. You know what happens? This world has got all of us. I got to get up in the morning now. And I got to go here. And we're on time limit. While we're working, if I don't get this done by this time, y'all, we're in such a hurry, we forget to, so to speak, stop and sharpen the axe. You know what we're doing whenever you take time out for prayer and for y'all? You don't realize. We think, yes, it's for God, but at the same time, God does that for you to give you a little peace in your mind. Take time out for prayer. Why? God's doing it for a reason. He's trying to help you.
Yes, He is.
He's trying to sharpen you, sharpen your senses spiritually, so you're able to discern what's going on, good from evil. Y'all, we get out in this world and say, I just can't figure out what's going on in my mind. I can't tell what to do. Yeah, have we taken time out to rest and to sharpen? Y'all, whenever that Bible right there is a two-edged sword, you know what happens?
That's right.
These flesh bodies get built up around them. And you know what happens? You get to the place there, if you don't take a bath in that Word of God, you get to the place there where all that dirt's all over, so to speak, and you can't get anything done for all the dirt. We've got to take time out to rest and just enjoy. That's what we're doing today. Y'all, this is not work to me. Man, I'm getting a blessing. Why? The Bible says more blessed to give than receive. God's been giving things to me this week, and I want to give it out to you. Why? To be a help and a blessing. And what you're doing is you go out of here, you try to be a help and a blessing to someone else, and it helps you, it rests you.
Amen.
I'm telling you, strengthen you. Jesus said this right here, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Here was a whole bunch of people come up. He was about to help. He said, what's somebody giving him bread? I didn't see. His disciples didn't know what he was talking about. What he's saying is it strengthens me, it feeds me, to be able to help someone else. This world has got us so wrapped up in ourselves, and the smallest package is a man wrapped in himself.
That's right.
You get wrapped up in yourself, and I'm telling you, starve you out. Now, here's another thing. He gives you rest. He's going to get revenge one day. Verse 8 says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. What? This is another time here. The second coming, guess what's going to happen? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to be able to abide His presence. That's why I want to see people get saved. I hope you want to see people get saved. Why? Because the Bible says here, it says, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Obedience to the gospel. What's the Bible say? Romans 10:16. If you want to obey the gospel, you just trust what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. It's that simple. You say, what do I do? You come to the Lord a sinner, realizing that you deserve hell. You're not good. There's none good. No, not one. And the Bible says if you'll trust the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4 is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you'll trust what He did for you on that cross, that He shed His blood for you personally, and trust Him, He'll save you.
Amen.
And that's all it takes. People say, well, what do I need to do this, that, and other thing? No, the Bible says it's a gift. If I gave you a watch and I said, Brother Mike, I'm going to give you this watch, but in 10 years, I want you to come back and mow the churchyard. It ceases to be a gift. Why? Because you're having to do it some time period. It's a free gift, the Bible says.
That's right.
You want to get saved? People talk about turning a new leaf, and I got to quit doing this, and I got to quit doing that. No, you trust Jesus Christ, and He'll help you quit doing all the other things. But don't quit doing other things first. Why? That's not salvation.
That's right.
Salvation is in a person, Jesus Christ, and it's a free gift. Why? Because that Bible said God's going to have His revenge one day. And the Bible says this, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. When's this going? when he shall come, his second coming, not the gathering together, not the rapture of the church. It says when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired and all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. You got to remember that phrase. When we get to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, remember that phrase, that day. It's going to be interesting.
Yes,
it is. Y'all, there's coming a day. There's coming a day, one of these days, we're going to be gathered out here in the rapture, and we're going to go up there in the judgment seat of Christ. And while the judgment seat of Christ is going on, the tribulation is going to be going on down here. They overlap. And that day is going to come when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back with His saints. He comes back for His saints in the rapture. He comes back with His saints after. We're not going to be going through the tribulation. But you know what? If they hadn't trusted Jesus Christ, when He gets back, brother, that's it. That is it. I'm going to tell you something. You're talking about vengeance. Y'all, I have seen men. I know men right now that could probably whip four or five people at one time. And I'm telling you that. I know some tough folks, and you probably do too. That's no comparison to the Lord.
That's right.
When the Lord comes in vengeance, in wrath, the Bible says that in Revelation 6:17, hide us from the face of the Lamb. The wrath. That's the wrath of God. Y'all, I'm telling you, I don't want to have nothing to do with the wrath of God. You know why? I've trusted Jesus Christ. I don't never have to worry about that. If you've trusted Christ, you will never have to worry about the wrath of God. Thank God for that. Why? Because He's going to come one of these days in recompense. Now, here's the last thing I want you to see. Prayer. No, that's not the last thing. I want you to see worthiness there. In verse 11, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. Now, the first thing, there's worthiness. Guess what? We need to pray for strength for others to go through things. Y'all, that's one thing. And I know a prayer, and I know I'm out of time, but I wish y'all give me a few minutes. Y'all, there are things that we can look up in the Bible of how to pray for other people. Y'all, there's people, I don't know what you're going through. Everybody in here's got something they're going through. But we need to pray that others will have strength to go through what they're going through.
Yes.
Y'all, we get so easy. We're so rough on other people, and we're so easy on ourselves. And people are going through things, I don't know why they treated me that way. I don't know why they look like that. Y'all, I know some preachers do it, and maybe, you know, I'm not running them down, but what they say down. I've heard them get up here and they say, y'all look like y'all sucking on lemons. I'm sitting in the pew like, hey man, you don't know what I'm going through. Sometimes I may have pain, I may have back pain. Make you think sucking on lemons. That's what I'm just telling you, what goes through my... Y'all, you got to be real careful about that. Why? Because we don't know what other people are going through. You ought not have to think that you got to just slap a smile on your face. Everything's not hunky-dory all the time. Like Brother Mike said, y'all, we got to realize people are really going through real stuff.
That's right.
And y'all, we've got to get to where we care. And y'all, that's not the, y'all. We just got to realize that we can pray for people and say, God help them.
Amen.
Man, I can't imagine what some of these people go through and say, Lord, I know that's right. Like that little baby you was talking about earlier. My, mm-hmm. I can't imagine what that family's going through. That's y'all, we've got to get to the place where if we were going through that, wouldn't we want somebody praying for us?
Right.
He's saying, man, pray. That's what he's saying here. Why? Because this growing church here, he's just admonishing them there that it's things to pray for. And he says, it's worthiness there. Why? Worthy of his calling. We ought to pray. Now, here's another thing. You'll see free will there. Why? And fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. Y'all, the Bible says that there's good works that you should walk in. And the Bible says you should walk in newness of life. But you should don't mean you would. Don't mean you got to take your free will God gives you and yield to the Holy Spirit and let Him work in and through you so you can pray, so you can work right, so you can get along with other people, so your faith can grow. Well, He gives you a Bible, but He's not going to force your face down in that Bible to read. He gives it to you and says, there it is. Y'all, we've got to actually make the choice there to let God work in and through us. Why?
Right.
You'll see that there. Now, here's the next thing. I almost finished, but work. It says, your work of faith with power. You're not going to have any power. Y'all, you wonder why people don't have power anymore? Because they're not working by faith.
Right.
It saddens me to see there's people working. They're just spinning the wheel, just like a rocking chair, just like a merry-go-round, just like a hummingbird, just standing there, just flapping, and not going anywhere. Why? Because there's no power in the work, because they're not working by faith.
Yeah.
You know what we're doing? We're coming here and we're working by faith. We work with one another and we work for the Lord. Why? I can't see what's going to happen in the future.
That's right.
And it's not for me to know. It's for me to serve. It's for you to serve. I don't know what, I can't tell you what's going to happen in your life tomorrow.
That's right.
But you know what I can tell you this right here? If you will work for the Lord, if you'll take one step at a time and just walk on the path that God has given you and walk in the light of the Word of God, the lamp under thy feet, a light under thy path, Amen. He'll light your path. As you take a little bit more, that lamp will show a little bit more.
Amen.
I can't see far down there, but as I walk a little bit, that lamp will show a little bit further and a little bit. That's why He's showing you it's a path and it's a narrow path. But if you'll walk by faith, He'll give you power.
Yes,
but if you're not going to walk by faith, there's not going to be any power.
That's right.
We say, I'm just so weak. Y'all, a lot of times, it's because we're trying to see, well, hey, what's going to happen next week? And what's going to happen
That's
next
right.
month down there? Am I going to be able to do? We don't know. None of us know. We got to take it one day at a time and say, God, help me. Give me strength sufficient for the day.
That's right.
For the day. Daily manna. Daily manna. Now here's closing. Here's your purpose. What are we doing? We're supposed to have a purpose. Verse 12. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. And ye in Him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the last thing. You want to bring Him glory. That's what your goal is to do. You're supposed to bring Him glory and magnify His grace. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. So you know what? Every one of you in here has got a purpose. You know what your purpose is? It's this simple. Bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right,
and you know what He'll do?
Amen.
That right road will lead you to the right place.
Yes, it will.
It's that simple. He said, Brother Chase, you mean to tell me that all you have to do is wake up in the morning and you trust Jesus Christ from start to finish and walk by faith and in the power of the Lord, and He'll lead you where you're supposed to go.
Yes, He will.
That's what He'll do. Now, y'all, that's what I want you to see out of chapter 1. But look, just try to live on purpose of Jesus Christ and not let this world get you down with the things that the world tries to get. Will you do that today? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, we just want to tell You, Lord, again, we love You.